step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It's the Afternoon Underdogs on Cards Radio 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Vannetti and Dave Jennings.
My goodness.
Sometimes my wife is right.
What? Wait. What have you done with Tony Vannetti?
That means sometimes you're wrong.
Ooh.
Exactly right.
There's a bet? Why are you saying that?
Are you on the right mic? Say something.
My mic.
Yeah. That's all you need to do. Don't look. Just speak.
I don't know. You still can't figure out what button to push.
My wife walks around the house all the time, and she says, something's burning, or yeah, I can smell gas.
My loins. I smell gas all the time.
Yeah, I know you do.
Usually you just hate it.
You disperse gas. Yeah.
So my house partially got on fire last night.
What?
Wait, hang on, wait.
Yeah.
Got it.
No, wives have super sniffers. They do.
She can be annoying about it.
Annoying that your house was on fire and she pointed it out?
No, that she's constantly going, something's on fire, and she'll walk around and she'll smell the toaster or she'll smell the air conditioner. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
But you're
she
saying,
goes out and smells the air conditioner?
Yes.
But you're saying last night there actually was a fire?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Yeah, there was a fire. You got to credit St. Matthew's Fire Department. They were there before I knew the fire was going.
Which tells me that they monitor your house particularly closely because of your past.
So what you're saying is firemen know how to quickly get to the Jackie Vannetti house?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The whole team.
That's very strange that they were already in the neighborhood.
They knew exactly how to get to the bedroom.
I was having such a good day. It was a great day. We were settling in to watch the season finale of Peaky Blinders.
Hey, did one of the firemen say, can I use your restroom? And another fireman go, yes, right down the hall, up the left.
So I got up after the third time she said something's on fire, and I walked by my window, and I go, why is there a fire truck in my lawn? They were there because my fence was on fire because the circuit breaker box exploded.
Whoa.
Caught on fire.
Was it your fault somehow?
No, it was not. I don't know.
Were there a couple?
It's always the dad's fault.
Let me run a scenario.
I've seen the stuff you've built.
Maybe there were a couple of drunken idiots out there lighting fireworks, and one said, "Let's throw hot or wet towels over the lights to dim them."
Yeah, that happened.
It was me and you.
Yeah, that was me and you. No. First, we backed up the pickup truck. We couldn't get it. We got on top of the truck, not enough. Let's get a ladder,
put it
in the back of the truck, then climb the ladder, then use a wet blanket and throw it over the electrical device.
How are you morons not dead?
I have no idea. No, everyone in the neighborhood was watching going, well, we're watching Tony Vannetti and Dwight die.
Yeah.
But it worked,
right.
And then people cheered.
High five.
Thank you.
Because somehow you defied the odds.
And by the way, that blanket stayed over the streetlight for like 2 weeks. Somebody going to get up and get it? Yeah, I'll get it to you tomorrow.
Right next to the shoes.
Then LG&E showed up. Didn't get along with the LG&E guy at first.
Shocking.
We had some misunderstanding. There were curse words exchanged.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we made up.
I'd really like to say I'm surprised that you weren't able to check the plays well with others box during this whole incident, but this all seems on brand.
I was a little on edge, my friend.
What did you ask him about the January and February bills?
No, I did not.
Did you ask him?
I brought that up, though.
Hey, where's Louie? Where's Louie the lightning bug?
Yeah, what's the deal? I pay for that guy, and he's not even here.
Hey, what's he like? Will you ask him annoying questions like that?
But he ended up being
a jerk at the break room?
He ended up being a listener of the show and listens for years because he was like, I have relatives that still aren't getting their unemployment check. So he said, please let Dwight start screaming about that on the radio. I was like, okay, I'll get to it.
I'll get to it. But they ended up working through the night till about midnight. That's not too bad. And they got the electricity on, and everything is fine now, but I need to repair my fence. And there's a big, dark, black circle in my yard. Now, first, I thought, who's watched Stranger Things here?
I've watched the first three seasons.
I've watched, like, the first season.
That show is stupid.
So how do they, the Demogorgon or whatever and all them, communicate from the other side? Through the lights.
Through electricity.
Well, the lights were blinking all day long. Oh. Like, I was like, why are my lights in my house blinking?
Well, what happens if the demigods get disconnected by LG&E? Does that mean they're just done talking?
That could be. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe that's an easy way, but then the series would end.
Oh, good.
Just some rolling blackouts. Take care of them.
Yeah, can we? I mean, it seems like it's a pretty easy solution. Just turn their power off.
By the way, I didn't get to see the ending of the Peaky Blinders. I know you were wondering about that.
Oh,
you were
no,
concerned.
I was far more entertained with you yelling at utility workers as your yard was on fire.
It's a heck of a show. Go to my Facebook page. An electrical fire is much more entertaining. It was like the 4th of July.
It's like a big sparkler out there, isn't it? It's arcing. And...
yeah, because they can't spray water on it.
No. No, you can't. You got to let it kind of...
yeah, so the fire department's standing there waiting on LG&E to show up and turn it off so they don't die.
Yeah.
I hear that Mayor Fisher wants to get rid of the fire department and replace them with social workers so they can de-escalate the fire.
Was it a
I think you've burned enough now, electrical fire. Maybe you just kind of simmered.
Was it a compassionate fire?
It was.
I think you must to hire a team of boxers to travel with.
It was a mostly peaceful fire.
Was it interrupted?
Well, I got to talk to my neighbors a lot last night.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That sucks.
Who immediately came out and goes, Red Natty started another fire.
And they kept asking me, when's electricity going to be back on? I don't know.
I'm the guy.
How am I supposed to know?
I'm just the guy that's
the one that
it
made
up.
It be off.
I mean.
Did they give you any insight on what happened? Why they just caught your fence on fire?
My 16-year-old left. I'm going to Granny. She's got internet. Damn, thanks, honey. Bailing on the family on the house fire.
And air conditioning.
No, there was no reason.
Because your kids have seen this movie before.
Apparently, in my neighborhood, the electricity from the city comes to my yard and then goes to the two neighbors. So us three were the only ones really kind of affected or in danger, right? So that exploded.
So it blew up your transformer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were your ferns damaged?
No. No, you want to see upset Tony, my flowers and ferns.
Well, I think you could probably hide the scorch with the fake trees that you borrowed from here.
Borrowed or stole?
Well, I was trying to be diplomatic about it, but yes, you did steal them. Yeah.
I prefer liberated.
Thank you.
I was trying to be somewhat couth about it, but yes, fine. If you want to go that route, you stole the fake trees.
I think the statute of limitations on fake botany is like a year.
I think so.
It's been within a year, though, since he's done it.
Oh, it has?
Yeah. It's been more than a year.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it has.
No, it wasn't.
I've been stealing them 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years or four years?
Four.
The last one is in Dave's office. When he moves out of there, I'm stealing that one.
That's mine, though.
Are you stealing it?
No, it's mine.
Oh, it's yours?
Yeah.
Oh, you bought it?
Yeah.
Why would you buy it?
There's a real.
It's like 30 years old.
Over in one of the abandoned sales offices, there's a giant like fern that's weaving up through the ceiling tiles. If you want.
Oh yeah, that was planted by three promotions directors ago.
One of them named Jack.
Yeah, apparently it's still growing and it's becoming one with the building. So if you can untangle it from the rafters, I think it's yours.
Well done, Dave.
Thank you.
I didn't get it.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh no. Yeah.
It kind of looks like that.
It does, actually.
Yeah, it's, you know, before too much longer, we're going to have a skylight over there.
Don't have to laugh, just appreciate it. Mm. Are you ready for a deer squatchy?
Yeah, let's do that.
Right.
Deer
squatchy.
Anyone that's had kids can relate to this one.
All right. I have kids, so I can relate.
Bradley writes in, deer squatchy.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Brad, thanks for listening.
My wife and I sent our son off to sleepaway camp this past weekend, and I don't know who's handling it worse, my wife or my son. Oh. He's only been gone 3 days, and he's called every day complaining about how he hates it and wants to come home, and my wife wants to run up and get him.
No!
I refuse to let her go up just yet, telling her it'll take a few days for him to get comfortable, make friends. We need to give it at least a week before we consider bringing him back. She thinks I'm being mean, and I don't care about my son's feelings. Squatchy.
Nope. Let the little he stays. All right?
Right.
No, because you don't learn unless you go through this.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you let the little yard terrorist stay up there at camp, and eventually, after a while, you get enough atomic wedges, you figure out how to fight back.
That's
right. It's how nature heals itself.
Yard terrorists?
Yes, that's what they are.
Atomic wedges.
I say you send her to fat camp.
Wait, who said it was fat camp?
The cord.
I just had a flashback. I'm sorry.
He's got to stay. You can't let him come back home.
Stop taking his calls, too.
Yes.
Listen, if he's out there listening right now, Jimmy, I didn't want to go to science camp either when I was a child. But look at what I've done and all of I have accomplished so thus far.
Thank you, Dr. Fauci.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
So glad you're feeling
better. That's so
inspiring. My first time at camp after a couple of days, I wanted to come home. After a week, I wanted to stay.
Yes.
Give it time.
Yes.
My first day
at camp. If you want a giant puss, let him come home.
My first day at camp, I remember laying in that damn bunk at night just bored out of my skull while it was raining. And then the last day at camp, I thought, this still sucks. I hated camp.
Well, Miss Little Witten, read a book while it's raining.
Right, I know.
What's a book?
All this dumb stuff. Hey, okay, now we're going to take a bunch of popsicle sticks and glue and make things.
You got thrown out because you were selling pot to the counselors.
Well, it was all well and good until I ran out of weed, and then they turned on me.
They turned on you.
They did.
They went state's evidence because you ran out of weed.
The 8-year-old's a bad influence on us. Joke of the day.
Oh, okay.
You ready for joke
of
the day?
Sure.
You want to do that?
It's Tony Vannetti's fire.
Actually, it's personal.
Was there a dolphin there?
What's personal? The joke of the day?
Yeah.
All right.
Gotta come clean.
Okay.
Hey, hey, fellas.
Hey, DW.
D-Man, open up.
I want to talk about my addiction.
No, that's not funny.
Oh, which one?
My paycheck, it just goes away. So you get paid, and I just keep buying Beatles albums over. I'm addicted to buying these Beatles albums over and over.
That's an addiction. Yeah, okay.
Well, it sounds like you need help.
No, Dave, that was one of the first records I got. Thank you for the assist, Dave.
Damn it.
You're welcome.
I saw that coming. Sasquatch is none pleased.
You're lucky the immunity music was going, because that would have been about $10.
Keep on the fire reports. Hey, change your smoke alarms, and listen to your wife when she smells something burning.
Yeah, check your smoke alarms, particularly if you live anywhere near the Vannetti residence.
Yes.
Hey, and one last question before we go to break.
Yeah.
Did you tip your fire personnel?
What?
Did you tip them?
No, I tipped them with the millions of dollars of tax dollars that we give them every single year.
I can't believe you didn't tip them.
They were very nice. There was like 30 of them. What am I going to do? Go around and give them a dollar like I'm a grandpa?
Yes.
Here's a dollar for you. Here's a dollar for you.
Exactly.
Check the cushions.
I think you, Bali, ought to give them an extra $100 next crusade.
And then you wink at them and you wag your finger going, now don't you spend nothing on snow cones.
You know damn well they rode away in that damn fire truck. They brought the ladder truck. I was like, what are you bringing the ladder truck?
Just in case.
Because they're trying to make you look like a tool.
All right, guys. Let's go get our snow cones. Back after this.
Oh. Lots of pasta. Yeah. Lots of pasta. Louisville.com. We talked about the delicious sandwiches yesterday, but John is home from college, so I went and got his favorite. I usually make the lasagna, but sometimes I go up there and get it from Lots of Pasta. I have them make it, and because it is gone. Once I heat it up and it's done in the oven, John and Maggie just crush it. They finished it off last night. It was just amazing, Dave.
Yep, five different kinds of lasagnas. They always have the baked ziti and the traditional lasagna, so if you're having a party and you want to get some of those family-sized entrees so you can cater it, then call ahead to Lots of Pasta or order online lotsofpastalouisville.com to make sure you have everything you need. Less than $5 a head to cater a party.
I got
to
jump in here real quick with the Witten favorite is the rattlesnake cheese.
Which we haven't been able to find the last couple of times.
You're the reason it sold out.
Oh, my gosh. It's a tequila and habanero infused Wisconsin cheddar and... Oh, it's good enough that it'll make the Wittens clean it out and freeze it so no one else can have any of it.
200,000. I'm sorry. 200 different types of cheeses at Lots of Pasta. 3717 Lexington Road in the heart of St. Matthews. Back after this. Tricky, tricky. Boom, 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 boom. All right, it's a real pleasure. We're bringing these guys. I don't know how we're going to get a word in edgewise with both these guys in here. All right. They both do radio shows, a lot like us. Mm-hmm. But we bring in Alan Mercurio. Alan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Long time no see.
They don't do.
It's been a while.
They don't do radio shows just like us. Theirs are actually good.
Yeah, right. And Scotty Davenport, how are you, Scotty?
Absolutely. Zero complaints.
Yeah. What?
Zero.
Okay.
You know what?
That's
like,
great.
You know, other than just sit tight. There may be some.
Yeah? What?
Shared. NCAA.
What?
Some shared NCAA news.
Have they apologized for not letting you in the tournament?
Yes.
No, they're not going to apologize.
They didn't send you a card. Sorry, Scotty.
We are going to express our feelings.
Oh.
Via the commissioner, Ted Gumpert, of the A-Sun Conference. Probably today or tomorrow.
Oh, beautiful. Breaking news. Beautiful. I love it. I love it.
He's not a very happy guy right now.
I guarantee it. No. I think they'll get it fixed.
Well, they screwed up. What kind of a story would that have been last year with you all in the tournament? I mean, that would have been one.
Vendetta
but let's
against
fix
Scotty.
It. But let's fix it. Yeah, let's fix it.
Let's get it fixed.
Let me ask you a question about your coaching style. From what I understand, you and the kids, your team, you train. Well, I mean, at some point, you got to defer to kids. You and the kids. You train and you practice from 6 in the morning basically till 6 o'clock at night. And you tell them, look, I don't care what you do with the first half of your day, with the second half of your day, but I got you the first half. Does it get old training that long?
Well, we do this over our 8 weeks countable in the summer for the weeks we have camp. We also have players leaving camp to go to class, leaving a class to go to internships. I mean, they're learning real life.
Okay.
And factor in, too, then 2 weeks ago Thursday, we added Seth Walsh, a 7-year-old young man who's been diagnosed with leukemia three times since he's three. So it's a very, very special time. But like this morning, you talk to someone who's out there in that real world and had a real job, and being there at 6 o'clock working on your game, getting better this morning is great.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
That's right. And really, if college teaches life's lessons, think of this. We had a commitment last week from a freshman, which I can't go into, but I told his parents, think of your son outside of basketball is probably going to go and work, and get ready, guys, to the year 2070.
Mm. Wow.
Do the math.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's true.
He's 17. Yep. He's going to be 18, this young prospect. In January.
Wow.
Do the math.
Yeah, no.
I don't want it.
And you're probably, and tell you the truth, that leads us into a great conversation. You're probably short on it. He's probably going to live and work longer because of science and medical science. And we have that conversation, Alan Mercurio, all the time with the Mercurio Wealth Advisors.
Yep.
You are here because we're going to have a seminar, and I want to talk about that. But we talk about, you tell the story where you used to go to a big group of people and say, how many people know somebody that's 90? And you said, maybe one person would raise their hand.
Right.
But now you ask the same question, what happens?
Oh, yeah, if you ask that question in a group of people now, you're going to get probably half the room raise their hands and say that they know somebody that's already 90 or above, and you know, that's the problem. Longevity is a real issue with planning for retirement or planning anything, really.
What's more of a mess, college basketball recruiting right now or the market?
That's a good question.
Flip a coin.
But you listen, before we get any further, I want to mention there is a – if you're as worried about all this as everyone on this show is, right, and I feel sorry for people that are retiring this year or had planned to retire this year because we just talked about it in the break. You believe the recession has already happened.
It's there. We're already there. We just haven't had the numbers announced yet, but we're already there.
Right. So what's going to happen July 14th at Melwood Arts Center starting at 5 p.m., again, July 14th, Melwood Arts Center. I'll put it on my Facebook and all that. At 5 o'clock, you have invited some of the smartest people you know to Louisville to talk about it.
We have. And actually, this is, you mentioned it as a seminar. It started out really more as a client event where we were bringing our clients in. We were flying in our chief investment officer from AE Wealth Management, which is where we have our assets that kind of sit on their platform. And I think there's like $16 billion that this guy oversees and manages. And so he knows – he's a little bit smarter than I am. So
That's right.
So we're flying him in. He's going to really talk about where we've been as a country, as a market, where we are right now, and then where he thinks we're going in the next 6 months, a year, 18 months, or what have you. And I think that just having that type of knowledge, we wanted our clients to hear this first, and then we thought – okay, let's ask our clients to bring folks that are also concerned about this. And then it got to be, okay, well, why not just open it up to the public and let anybody come in? Because everybody's concerned about this. Everybody's concerned. And Dwight was just saying, you know, 401k, what do we do with those? And so even if you're not ready to retire, this is a great opportunity to hear somebody that's got his finger on the pulse of the market and is actually – you know, helping people make decisions.
Maybe you can help me because my wife Susan and I are in an argument right now on what to do with our 401k.
Yeah.
Should we put our 401k on red or black? Because there's an argument for both. There's an argument for both, but you're the expert.
It is gambling to a certain extent,
it's,
Alan.
It's kind of sophisticated gambling. I think, you know, now's when we actually are seeing, and this is what we're doing on a serious note, this is what we're doing with our clients, is we're just kind of going back to the fundamentals, sticking with the companies that have been around for years and years and years, good dividend-paying companies. That's where we have kind of pulled back to a little bit. But I got to be honest, we're also accumulating some cash and pulling back some cash off the table a little bit just so that we can have some dry powder so when this hits bottom and starts the other direction, we're prepared for that.
What would you tell people that kind of want to panic? It'll be up and down, and they'll say, I've got to go to all cash and ride this out. But if I did that yesterday, I might miss out on a 600-point gain today.
Exactly, and I think that's where you're at. You can't – if you pull everything out of the market right now, I think you're just locking in those losses. And to where you're going to get back to or how you're going to get back into the market, that's the problem that I've seen in the past is that people that do that, when you make that decision and you go all the way out, then you don't know when to get back in, and that's the problem.
Should you up your contributions right now?
That's a talking point.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I think if you've got the extra cash flow that you feel like you can buy back in, and you're doing this in a contribution style where it's coming out of your paycheck every couple of weeks and it's going in, you're dollar cost averaging, so it's a good opportunity to do that. So,
and everybody has different goals. Let's say Scotty, how old are you, Scotty? 78.
Oh, come on, man.
No, 74. Ask you to stop working. But Scotty,
I don't believe it, Coach.
At one point, Scotty's family's like a lot where we're working so we can live through retirement happy, right?
Yeah.
And now he's successful enough to a point that he's probably thinking, I'm going to live nice through retirement, that he probably wants to leave something for his family when they're gone, correct? You change your goals.
Well, and we've asked Scotty to be part of the forum too, so he's going to be talking at our group or at our session. And Coach, what we've asked you to do is really talk on the importance of teams and how to build a team. We do that all the time at Mercurial Wealth Advisors. We're the financial advisors, the investment managers, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Especially when you get ready to retire, you got to plan for health insurance and long-term care legacy planning and tax planning. Tax planning should have been on top of that list. But all of that has to be part of it. And having a good team behind you makes all the difference in the world.
Yep.
You know, first of all, I have proof of my next statement that I can't spell retire.
My wife will testify to that
I can't spell retire.
I guarantee
Number
you.
Two.
Well, we'll come get you out of the office. Don't worry.
Talk about longevity, and I'm really proud. Early on, Bellarmine was the first, and then for many, many years, the only certified PT program educationally in the state of Kentucky.
Oh.
And what was the theory of this? Way back to Dr. McGowan was, everybody wants to live longer, live better.
Yeah,
you mentioned you'd have one hand up, now half the room goes up. Well, we want to live longer, we want to live better, and we want to live more comfortable financially.
Right.
So it does take everybody. And I totally, I get the big picture. And I've oftentimes you read statements, you look at things in the big picture, and you say, Russ and Doug probably pretty happy right now.
Yeah, his two kids. Man, I'm trying to imagine 90-year-old Scotty Davenport. All right, so the event is July 14th.
I'm 66, for the record.
I love you, buddy. I love you. Melwood Arts Center, 5 to around 8-ish, whatever, July 14th. How do they get signed up? They just show up.
They can call the office at 502-253-9366, or they can go to our website, and then that way they can actually sign up with a – there's a sheet in there that they can sign up through that.
Mercurio, yes, Mercurio Wealth Advisors. Alan, I love you, buddy. Be good.
I appreciate
to see you. All right, back after this. You keep it where you got it. Edlin and Edlin, folks, you know the name. They're the real estate brokerage, been around for 46 years, and they only charge 1% commission rate. That's right. They believe that is fair. A couple of years ago, they went to that model, and people love it. Look, there are about 1,400 houses for sale right now. On average, in Louisville, there should be about 3,500. So you know the numbers. If you're selling a house, going to sell pretty quickly. Why would you pay somebody 3% commission? You get all the bells and whistles with Edlin and Edlin, but you're only going to pay 1% commission. Buying or selling, it's the same thing. So lock it in with Edlin and Edlin. Go to Edlin.com and find out the sliding scale of how much you're going to keep, and or call 599-2800. 599-2800. Edlin and Edlin. There are some things from our childhood that I miss a lot. And some of those were urban legends that I used to scare the crap out of me.
Remember quicksand? I always thought that I would be walking through the forest.
I thought that was everywhere.
I did too.
Don't move. That's the key. The more you move, the more you go down.
Right. And please let there be a big log that streaks. You know, like
just put my toe
right
on it.
Yes.
I got my toe on a log. Throw me a rope.
Well, more modern times, we have Slender Man. That's another.
Well, that's actually scarier than
some of these.
Okay, here's what I'm talking about.
I know we had murder hornets in 2020, but whatever happened to killer bees?
No, well, that's right. That's part of what I'm talking about, these urban legends that have gone away. We don't talk about the Bermuda Triangle anymore.
Yeah, that's another one, the Bermuda Triangle.
It was an obsession with our generation.
When they sent the Rocky and Troy show to the Bahamas to broadcast.
Yes.
I found out we were going to have to fly over the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
And when they told me that, I freaked out.
Dum, dum, dum. All right. So the Bermuda Triangle, obviously the stories were planes disappearing, boats disappearing, or boats would just kind of float back in after 30 years with no one on them.
Oh.
They go from the Keys. If you draw the triangle from the Keys to the Bermuda to Puerto Rico, that is the Bermuda Triangle. Now, you got Flight 19, where five aircraft disappeared in 1945 just off the coast of Florida, never to be seen again. Bermuda Triangle pilots would say they would miss masses of amounts of time. So they would look down, and it would be 3 or 4 minutes, but then they would look back up at the gas, and all of the gas in the plane, they have been traveling for hours.
Every time I go with my wife somewhere, it'd be just minutes, but it feels like hours, too.
Was Leonard Skinner on the plane?
Why don't we hear stories like that anymore?
I don't know.
Are they more explainable now? Do we have better technology, so we're like, eh.
Or maybe Big Triangle got tired of the bad press and silenced them.
Oh, and what else? Atlantis is supposed to be in the Bermuda Triangle somewhere.
That's right.
Right?
Well,
that actually is real. I've been there.
It's expensive.
Right.
We don't talk about the Loch Ness Monster anymore. When I was a child, we all were convinced there was a dinosaur in Scotland.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
Everyone knew.
Everyone now has a fish finder radar.
So nobody on the lock has ever seen a big thing swimming by.
I watched hours of television
right.
with people talking about, well, here's what happened. In the Cretaceous period, that lagoon closed off from the ocean, and their families could be in there for generations.
If you remember, in the 70s and early 80s, there was a television show devoted just to this.
Yes.
It was called In Search Of.
Yes.
And like every other episode would be like, and this week we're going to look for the Loch Ness Monster again.
Now.
Hosted by Leonard Nimoy.
Yes. Oh, yes.
No, it was now, Spock.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yes,
it?
Spock. Yes.
Yes.
Go with it. Yes. Now, the most famous picture of Nessie. You've seen that to where it's got the little, it looks like a damn dinosaur, right?
It has the same, like if you look at the footage, the still shot of the guy punching the mare.
Yes.
It's the exact same technology that we had back for Nessie.
Right, exactly.
It looks exactly the same.
Okay, we found out years later because they would use that picture. And how many times on these TV shows they would examine the picture and the shadows and what it looks like. And then they pull in a dinosaur expert.
Ah.
What kind of dinosaur is this? And then they would say, well, it could be this kind of dinosaur.
They did that with the Patterson film in Sasquatch. You know, it's got that
yes.
grainy thing. It's like, watch the way
he turns
his head.
Right.
No human could turn his head like that and move his arm like that.
We're going to get to Sasquatch in a minute. But later we find out it was just a dad that took a kid's toy and he carved a little bit more. It was a wooden toy and he carved it to look like that. It's like 8 inches tall.
That's
he
not
just
true.
Floated out of here and took a picture. Since there's nothing to give it scale.
Scale? What do you mean scale?
Yeah.
Scale.
Get out there. Get out there.
Wait. Scale? What do you mean scale? Jaws reference.
20-footer.
25.
So we don't talk about Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, anymore.
Here's what I miss about the 70s is they would be walking through the forest, whatever, and they find this gigantic Sasquatch footprint.
You're right.
And they would say, give me some of this plaster. And
that I conveniently have with
right
me.
Right here.
Right.
And just mix up this plaster and make
how
a mold.
Plaster?
And I was like, man, that's cool. I would like to have a plastic foot like that.
Crop circles.
Yeah.
For a while, we were like, seriously, we all sat there. We talked about it for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Where we're like, how is it? And then they would go out and measure it and go, it is a perfect circle.
It's got to be spaceship landing.
Yes. Or what would make these circles?
Drunk farmers.
They weren't there last night, and then they're there now. Well, the people that were doing it finally went, you idiots.
Yeah.
They literally took a plank of wood
uh-huh.
and two pieces of rope, and they just walked in a circle.
Yeah.
That's what the crop circles were.
That's all it was?
Yes. And then they were like, well, prove it. Guy did it in 20 minutes. Here's one.
Really? Wait a minute.
We're so gullible.
We're so stupid.
I heard it was actually a virus that kills all the corn.
There's no truth to that.
Okay.
You're a one-trick pony, Fauci.
I don't know.
How about Noah's Ark? We don't talk about Noah's Ark, but we were obsessed on finding Noah's Ark.
Hey.
There were groups of people that said, I'm going to Turkey and climbing these mountains to find Noah.
Mount Ararat.
Yeah, Ararat. That's where they think this thing is.
What's the difference between my wife, Susan Tyler Witten, and Noah?
I don't know. What's the difference?
Noah only had two of everything.
So hundreds of years...
She likes shoes.
All right. It's been over 12 years since the last time people seriously claimed they found the wooden ship or wooden compartments on Mount Ararat, 13,000 feet above sea level. Okay? So Noah's Ark, we don't talk about Noah's Ark anymore, even though we have one in Kentucky.
That has dinosaurs on it.
The abominable snowman.
Oh, yeah.
The Yeti.
The Yeti.
The abominable snowman.
The ape-like creature in Himalayan mountains.
Bumbles bounce.
Ice never melts.
They once, in 2017, claimed they found hair from a Yeti.
However,
turned out to be a bear hair. The most serious legitimate story is the guys that climbed Mount Everest first, Sir Edmund Hillary, which died on the mountain, and his Sherpa.
Yeah, those are
Tenzing.
Those are cute little dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pronounce the last name. What are we saying?
Bojangles.
Tenzing Bojangles.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. were the first climbers to reach the summit of Everest, and they say on the way up, they saw one.
Do you think that maybe the Sasquatches get pissed off because the Yetis are trying to steal their thunder, and they're so then they go out and they walk around like, I don't know, Yellowstone to try and get seen again to draw the attention back to the...
Or oxygen deprivation.
Yeah.
But all of these things, the Abominable Snowman, Bermuda Triangle, Noah's Ark, we were obsessed with these and were convinced.
What about killer bees? It was like 1977. They said, the killer bees have just left Africa. They're heading towards us. They'll be here in 2 years.
Remember the movies, the cheesy 70s movies with the bees all over the car?
Yeah.
And they start crawling through the air vents. Close the air vents!
Close the air vents. Because, and I know how they killed them.
They took Astrodome!
The Astrodome just built. Remember the Astrodome? If you go see the... Is the Astrodome still there?
I don't know.
They tear it down?
Please say no. Because everybody played there, like the Dodgers.
And it was...
The Bad News Bears.
They called it the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big. It wasn't that big. But it was an indoor baseball field, and everybody thought it was incredible.
It's the Astrodome.
So they drug the car with the killer bees into the Astrodome and then turned the air down.
Because every bee followed them in.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Okay.
And Sasquatch, of course, we're still obsessed with that because we have 15 TV shows trying to find Sasquatch every single day.
Yes.
It says the Astrodome became obsolete by 2008, no longer met Houston's fire code. Voters there turned down a proposal to upgrade in 2013. It now sits abandoned.
That's what I thought. I think it's sitting there by itself now. And the Bad News Bears went there to play. Remember?
Yeah, look.
The return of the Bad News Bears?
Yeah, Buttermaker took them there.
Yeah.
Look at that. Isn't that creepy? Just seats laying around everywhere.
It is creepy.
That's sad, man.
Well, they say you can put the Astrodome
inside
the new place that Houston plays in.
Yeah, but
now that place is a huge building.
And you could put that inside Jerry's place.
Yes.
So are these stadiums like a bunch of Russian dolls?
Pretty much.
And Jerry's...
And Jerry takes them straight on the elevator.
Here's the last one that we probably won't talk about much anymore. But the fear for the last 20 years was we were barreling towards overpopulation.
Yes.
And that overpopulation was going to be the reason that we were going to get to 8 to 10 to 12 billion people. There won't be enough space or food. Well, now no one's having babies. You saw where Italy now has gone below the threshold, and that the Italian government has said in a statement that in 8 years, there will be 1.6 million fewer citizens in Italy.
Mm. Even the sauce isn't Prego anymore.
No. Damn it. That is a $3 out of the bad joke jar. That is $3 out of the bad joke jar, my friend.
Thank you.
Every time I drive to work in rush hour, though, I could kind of wish there was less people on planet Earth. But, I mean, it's a win-win. Whatever happened, also, they were always, every couple of years, a comet was going to hit the Earth and knock us off the axis, and we either freeze to death or fry up.
An asteroid.
We're never going to know about it because they're not going to tell us. Every time we go, well, there's one coming close. When? Tomorrow.
The size of a Volkswagen,
You're like, what do you mean tomorrow? Well, we've known about it. We just didn't want people to freak out.
We don't want
to
freak out.
It's going to miss us.
We want to wait until we will wait until the last minute for you to freak out.
Wanted to make sure that it was going to miss before we told you.
I don't want to. I'm not sure I want to survive the apocalypse. What do you mean there's no Jimmy John's? I can't go to the movies.
It depends on how we'd live. Because in one of the movies, remember, they had this complex in Missouri. And it was how they chose people to come in or not come in.
Oh, really? And how much fun would that be? People could not get locked down during COVID for 3 months.
You guys need a radio show in there. Keep people happy.
Yeah, and then once they invite you in, they end up eating you.
Yes. But the ones where they show you where we've landed in Shangri-La, the Himalayan Mountains, and we're all happy in Shangri-La. You know Shangri-La is only happy for about 6 months.
Of course.
Somebody gets bored and starts punching people in the face.
That's what Dennis Miller said about the guys that think they're going to the 72 Virgins.
Yeah.
He goes, after two or three, wouldn't you want a pro?
Think about no bare nose pizza in the apocalypse, dude.
That'd be horrible.
Oh.
That'd be horrible. Hey, Hightower Men's Clinic. Guys, let me ask you a question. Do you suffer from ED? If you do, suffer no more. Listen, Hightower Men's Clinic, they are the pros when it comes to correcting. Did you hear that? Correcting ED.
And pros.
Yeah. Other clinics are just going to treat the symptoms. They're going to push chemicals on you, pills, powders, potions, even injections. I don't want a hypodermic needle anywhere near that, trust me. Plus, a lot of things can change in the 45 minutes that you're waiting around for these chemicals to take place. If I were a betting man, I would say that your issue is restricted blood flow. That was my issue. I went to Hightower Men's Clinic, and they corrected it painlessly, and it works. Go to HightowerMens.com. Read some of these patient testimonials, then give them a call. You're going to love them. Hightower Men's Clinic. Go to HightowerMens.com. It's not in the way that you stay to the end. It's not in the way you look or the things that you say that you do. For the line, love isn't always on time. Whoa, whoa, whoa. For the line, love isn't always on time. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
It's the Afternoon Underdogs on Cards Radio 790 KRD. Now, here's Tony Vannetti and Dave Jennings.
Oh, that means it's time for tool time.
Tuesday's tool, gentlemen.
Tuesday tool.
And what do I enjoy searching for the tools?
Oh, I know.
Okay. Answer it, Tony.
Bridezillas.
Yeah.
This is not one of those.
Oh.
See, there you go.
It does involve a wedding, and it's perfect for this show.
Oh, okay.
Let's call this woman Peggy, who writes in.
Hi, Peggy.
To where else but Reddit. She's probably a Margaret.
Does she have a wooden leg?
Ooh, I don't know. Let's ask Paul McCartney. My cousin lives a six-hour drive from me and the rest of our family. A few months ago, we all drove there for his wedding. Due to limited space, no kids were invited, except for the bride's young nieces and nephews. My baby was 10 months old at the time, and I wasn't comfortable leaving him alone in an unfamiliar place with a stranger, which was a babysitter that my other cousins hired for their own kids. I decided to bring him to the wedding.
Cool.
I wrote on the RSVP that I was bringing him, and he'd be sitting on my lap, and I'd bring my own food for him. My cousin didn't say anything, so I assumed he's okay with it. My baby cried at the ceremony, but I quickly took him out of the room. At the reception, I had him with me the whole time in a body carrier. He didn't make much of a fuss, and I thought everything was okay. After the wedding, my aunt, the groom's mom, confronted me and told me that I was rude for bringing my baby without permission. I said I wrote it on the RSVP, and nobody said anything. She said my cousin and his bride did have a problem with it, but the bride didn't know me very well, didn't want to start any drama. My other cousin's baby was 7 months old at the time, and my aunt said that he had no problem leaving his baby with the babysitter, and I should have done the same. Some of the cousins were upset because I got to bring my baby, and they did not. I didn't mean to start any drama. Am I the tool?
Yes, you're the tool.
Just don't go. Why is it so important for you to go to this stupid wedding?
Because she wants to show off her baby.
I mean, Peggy, come on. Is she a Margaret, but we call her Peg?
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, so, yo, just don't go. Don't go, because I was okay with it up until the rest of the parents were like, man, I thought it was no babies.
I know.
So that's where it got me. I was like, oh, no, everyone else, found stuff to do.
Surely the rules for the wedding means everyone but me. I'm Peggy.
Mm. And that is the theme of all the responses. Here's one. She didn't even contact them directly to explain the situation. She just included it in the RSVP. She had to know this was going to be an issue. She just believed she could get away with it because the rules apparently are different for her.
Again, we're still pointing towards this. Every step of the way has to be perfect for the bride. Stop!
No,
it's just a day. And odds are you're going to divorce him.
Nice.
Who cares?
Oh, my gosh, with the divorce talk.
Okay. But yes,
probably
every moment has to be perfect or my day is ruined.
But it is their special day.
It is. Yeah,
it's not
right.
Peggy's special day. Peggy's special day was 18 months ago or whatever.
It's not the bride complaining, by the way. And here's another response. A child-free wedding means child-free.
Right.
You should just not go if you felt uncomfortable leaving your child.
Yes.
You felt the rules didn't apply to you when they did.
We had armed guards because we had a no-child wedding. Susan and I did?
Yeah, yeah.
We had armed guards saying, do not approach this church with that baby.
Yeah, it's true.
And there wasn't any of that.
No.
Put the baby in the cloakroom. Here's your ticket. See you after the wedding.
Just hang them up like little coats?
Well, any kids that did come, they would tie them to a chair, and then they put them in a dark closet till the wedding was over. They open the door and poke them with a stick every once in a while.
Just make just keep them active.
Whether you agree or disagree with the kid policy, it was their wedding. It was their policy.
Let's go with another chick. Her name is Nicole Shyamalan.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole Bojangles. Hi,
sure it's not Bojangles?
This is another Nicole Bojangles, another stupid gender reveal story. She was upset when she saw the blue smoke. She already has a boy. She wanted a girl as the second child.
Well, she could change that.
So she faked for the video. It was like, oh, yeah.
Sorry.
It's all malleable now.
People are so stupid. I'm sorry.
I want to smack Dave, but I can't.
You can't. It's funny. You can change that.
So she was fine during the first video of them with the blue smoke, which, again, we can't say it enough on this show. Stop having your stupid gender reveal. No one cares.
Especially me.
Gender of your baby is.
I don't see gender. I'm just confused.
That's admirable.
Thank you.
What's the Navy got to do with it?
I like when the dudes get racked in these things.
So she was fine during the video, but later that night, uploaded a video of her crying that she was upset that it was a boy and she wanted a girl, and this was just upsetting.
The only thing that's more interesting than you showing me pictures of your newborn baby is releasing smoke or colored butterflies or some kind of crap like that to tell me what kind of gender your baby's going to be.
She said,
so interesting to
quote,
me.
Quote, how can I love another boy? Will I be replacing my first son? How can I love both sons equally?
Well, we're going to wait until they're 5 and 7, then we're going to make you choose.
Oh, wait a minute.
Here's how ridiculous.
And then we're going to make you choose.
This one is pretty ridiculous.
Yes.
A British blood donor said he was turned away after refusing to answer a question asking him if he was pregnant. Leslie Sinclair, 66, told the Daily Mail he has given 125 pints of blood over the past 5 decades. But on his last trip to a clinic in Stirling, Scotland, Sonny Jim.
I knocked your teeth in, Sonny Jim.
He was told to fill out a form that asked if he was expecting a child or had been pregnant the past 6 months.
And he was 66?
That's not applicable. You just go not available or whatever. You don't answer that.
After noting that he is male, the clinic staff said they could not accept his blood unless he provided an answer to whether or not he'd been pregnant or planned to be.
We are living in the dumbest time in human history.
Sure, this blood could save somebody's life, but...
Yeah, you refuse to answer a make-pretend question, Mr. Abernathy.
Pete Buttigieg's spouse was pregnant, so it could happen.
Sure he was. They took pictures in a hospital bed together.
All sweaty from the birth.
Well, Tony just used this. From now on, if we cannot pronounce a word properly on a last name or a first name, it defaults to Bojangles.
What happened to Bill Smith?
I don't know.
Ken Johnson.
Right.
Or we're idiots.
Well, there's a little bit of both going on here.
Thank you.
And there's a lot of Bojangles that play tennis, by the way.
And a lot of the latter. And soccer.
Yeah.
Okay, so this involves soccer. It's where the World Cup is. Am I pronouncing this right? Qatar? It's
At first, everyone said it was Qatar, and then it said, no, it's Qatar. But then I met someone from that country that said, no, it's Qatar.
Yeah.
Well, as Bojangles prepares to host the World Cup this November, visitors to the country of Bojangles need to keep their mind in what laws they have over there. For example... Sex outside of marriage is illegal, so much to the point as, and if you have a one-night fling, it can land you in jail for up to a year.
Hmm.
But technically, in Bojangles, if you're convicted, you could also serve up to 7 years if they want to make an example of you. So if you're going over there for the World Cup,
then
you will go out to the bars and...
exchange pins.
Yeah, I don't know why keeping religion and politics separate is a good thing. I mean... have sex out of marriage.
Can you imagine that? 7 years for a one-night...
Yes.
Some people pay... Some people do 18 years for a one-night stand, though.
Yes. It's been happening in those countries for years. It's a mistake when you let religious leaders run the country.
Do they do anything to the women in these situations? I hope not.
Oh, I guarantee they do. Of course they do. It's yes, well, it's not a good place.
We'll be both of them.
Yes.
You're both guilty.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if this is – I think this is an overreaction from the delivery driver. A doorbell, a door cam captured
– the Ring camera guy? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Meg Bojangles has posted the footage of
this
her –
this person is everywhere.
I know. Well, Bojangles really – Mr. Bojangles really got around. Should I try to pronounce her last name?
Yeah, why not?
Meg Morrill.
Meg Bojangles.
Meg Bojangles has posted footage of how her Jimmy John's order was delivered to her place. In the video, the driver just simply backs up into the driveway, opens up the door, and drops the bag on the pavement right there on the driveway, and then takes off. It's like a newspaper or something.
He's afraid of getting COVID.
No, the comments of people question whether the driver might have been in protest of a crappy tip, which it very may well be, but Meg Bojangles said that she tipped 20% on a $10.89 sandwich order, which comes out to $2.18. So it's not the biggest tip, but it's a small order.
Yeah.
So if you tip 20% on a small order, are you supposed to tip more now?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the rule there.
Wouldn't these delivery personnel be taking out multiple orders at the same time?
I'm not ordering one sandwich for delivery.
Me neither.
I will do that if the whole family needs sandwiches and stuff. But I'm not ordering a $7 sandwich and have it delivered.
Should we not have the driver know the tip before he leaves with it?
Well, I didn't know this until later. Doesn't Uber, you don't tip the Uber driver until after the ride is done.
Oh. That's the only way to do it.
Right. Yes. Because Jackie was upset because I almost died in Boston in a 2-mile tunnel.
Right.
She said, download the Uber thing. I was like, okay. And I said, how does this work? And she goes, you just do ba-da-bop. They drop you off. You get a notification. You give the driver a rating. And then you tip.
Yes. I'm in the tunnel.
Come
pick me up. Go a quarter mile in and stop.
Come pick me up.
I'll be the one bleeding.
Right. From my knee.
From my knee.
Clinging to the wall.
Clinging to the wall in a panic attack.
Follow the horns.
Screaming, I'm from Kentucky and I'm an idiot.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. But she always goes her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady.
But my heart's a gold. I have a family so I will come home to just wait.
Just a beautiful bed, it's so bad.
Sultry, smooth sounds of
Vince Neil.
They keep posting all of these pictures of him and Axl Rose and who else? They all look like your aunt now. They're a little chunky and they have that mid haircut, that little shoulder haircut.
Sounds like someone's choking a cat.
I saw really one of Steven Tyler and Jon Bon Jovi. Jon Bon Jovi kind of looks like Jamie Lee Curtis now.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got the short gray hair. But so this was sent to me by a friend of the show.
By the way, what was that? Was Vince Neil and Motley Crue singing?
Doing Home Sweet. See, you couldn't even tell what the song was.
Right. Really. Yeah, let the crowd sing it, Vince.
Yeah, right. Better.
That sounded pretty good.
Did it?
Good-ish.
That's a word, I think.
Sounded better in the beginning.
I think he ate Vince Neil.
Yeah, dude. With the little...
So I will say...
With the bedazzled jeans and stuff. Come on, man. Let it go.
Sleeveless.
I will say... Sleeveless. On yeah. I will say that Sammy Hagar and George Thorogood...
Still sound good.
They sounded amazing. Sammy's going to be 75 in October, but the Motley Crue, Def Leppard... Poison Joan Jett tour has kicked off. It's coming to Cincinnati. It's the next, Nashville and then Cincinnati are the next two nearest stops. But on the first, I think it was one of the first shows, Tommy Lee had to excuse himself after three or four songs because he had broken ribs. They had a backup drummer, and the backup drummer came in and did the drums.
Why? How did he have broken ribs?
That's lugging that thing around for 50 years.
That's the thing. That's the thing. So he kept it to himself. And then Joey Strader, we all know Joey Strader, friend of the show.
Yes.
He sent me a message a couple of hours ago, and I'm trying to confirm it, but it was from a publication claiming that the reason that he got his ribs broken, Tommy Lee, the drummer, is because he called Vince Neil, and he canceled him. He tackled him, breaking like four ribs.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's great.
You got to think, Tommy's like a buck 05. He's like a little skinny.
Oh, he needs to eat.
And then Vince Neil, you know, I guess standing next to each other, they look kind of like a lowercase b, you know? He's round, and he's tall and skinny, yeah. And he's short.
Regardless, if they off script, they're idiots.
Of course they
they're
are.
Just really bad.
I kind of want to go to this. I just kind of want to go to see it.
What?
The tour.
I tell you, Billy Idol played. People that went to go see Billy Idol over at Caesars, Indiana a couple of years ago said, dude hasn't aged. I thought, how is Billy Idol alive? Because he was one of those drugs and alcohol every single day guy.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, dude, he took his shirt off. He had a six pack. They're like, the guy looks the same age.
Well, go in our conference room. You know how we have like a, it's wrapped with all these idiot singers, you know, you don't know. Well, he's in there and he's got his shirt off and he's got a six pack abs.
And he still sounds good.
Yeah.
Here's a new song from him. That's a video. Let's get past it.
Does he still, like, snarl a slip up? Oh, rolls.
I always thought Billy Idol was the coolest dude in the room.
Really?
Yes. Why?
Why not? I never did.
Because he didn't have piercings and long hair?
He's more of a Bill Binford guy.
It's Biff Byford. And, you know, I liked Cradle of Love, the one from the Ford Fairlane movie. I like that, Rock the Cradle of Love. I did like it. It's pretty good.
How's he still alive?
I don't know.
How are we still alive?
Still got that crooked Billy Idol mouth.
That's what I was wondering, if he still did that.
Do you have scary music?
I can find some.
Good story.
All right. You can talk while I look.
No. No. It's called a, it's a time for pause.
It's a time for, yes.
Yes.
A time to reap.
I was setting the tone. Sow. The music was going to start.
Yeah, we got it. Oh, that is creepy.
Do you want?
He played knick-knack on my knee.
Do you want to hear a story?
Paddywhack, give your dog a
shut up!
Oh, sorry.
Do you want to hear a story?
Yes.
Yes, Uncle Tony. Mm.
Meet the unnamed man.
Hi, unnamed man.
Meet the unnamed man.
Hi, Mr. Bojangles.
Hello, Prince.
The young man described an emotional and harrowing experience he suffered when he was 11 years old.
Oh, no.
It's horrible.
Don't tell this story.
His mother was in a grip of
A what?
She was in the grip of a mania. A mania. She was going crazy.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Brought on by either mental illness, drug use, or both. Well,
what?
She locked the two in a motel room in the bathroom and proceeded to torture the boy until he nearly died.
Oh, my word. What kind of crap are you reading?
Or did he die? In this moving account, the man relates remembering passing out after she tried to drown him in the bathtub, floating above his body.
Yes.
He recalls looking down on himself, naked and unconscious on the bathroom floor. Then into the light, the tunnel of light he saw, I tell you. Oh. And so many of the others have gone through before. They have described that, yes?
Don't go to the light.
He recalls seeing orbs and angels not unlike the many winged creatures described in the Bible.
I saw an orb.
Then he woke up, clutching a sprite at the foot of his mother's bed.
A sprite?
A sprite?
A sprite. He was very specific.
Okay, very specific.
The diet sprite?
At the foot of his mother's bed, watching The Simpsons. I live, quote, the young man that's unnamed,
I live every day with one foot in the grave.
Every
day I try to find reason why I'm still here.
But he
it's
walks
difficult.
Funny.
One foot in the grave?
But there has to be
one hand on the sprite.
A reason.
He walks awful funny.
That's the end of the story.
Oh, thank
wait,
you.
Wait.
Yeah.
Here, let me make it better.
Yeah.
Some say he died, but I say he's right behind you. Try to make it a camp.
Sorry.
Try to make it a camp story.
He's right behind you.
All right, the Marilyn Monroe biopic. I can't wait to see this, man. The movie.
Biopic, apparently, is
biopic.
How they say that. Yeah.
All right, well, biopic. Blonde is going to be the name of it. It's getting ready to hit festival.
Why are we wanting to see this?
Because I'm a big Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, are you really? Okay.
I love her, yeah.
Oh, what's wrong with Billy Idol?
Oh, I thought you said Marilyn Manson.
No, Marilyn Monroe.
You said Marilyn Manson.
I thought I heard Monroe.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sorry, I just did the scary story.
Yeah, you were a little out of it.
We don't have time to go to the tape, but we'll figure this out.
No, you got Marilyn Monroe,
The Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, Elvis, now Marilyn. Why not?
Why
Let's
not?
Go back to the 1950s and tell this lame-ass story again.
I want
to
see Charlie Chaplin's biopic.
Oh, my God, but why not?
You two are just...
We're biopicking it apart, man.
Your butts. You're both... Your pair of butts.
Wait, it's a kid from nowhere. She was an orphan. She became the biggest star in the world.
Yes, that story needs to be told.
Again.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Well,
it's so sad.
Well, the director, Andrew Bojangles, is speaking out about the movie's NC-17 rating.
Oh, I love his stuff.
Mr. Bojangles says that it's got something to offer to anyone, and the main reason that they're putting the NC-17 rating on it is because of explicit sexual content.
Usually a wiener gets you that, right?
Perverse sexuality and graphic sexual dialogue. He says that he's bent out of shape over it because he says... The sex scenes, they're not fun sex scenes.
Oh, my God. I mean, they're violent.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, I want to see this. Everyone get out of the way. Let me get some tickets.
He does go, Evie says, I'm not going to take the sexual content out because I'm uncompromising about the tone of the film and the content of the production. He later on said, if the audiences don't like it, that's their problem. I'm not running for office.
He's hoping the rating will get an audience.
He pointed out that it's not happy sexuality.
No, she was abused her entire life. And men took advantage of her entire life. It's a sad, sad story.
And her name was Norma Jean, and nobody could get it right. Everybody called her
except
Marilyn
Elton John.
Yeah, he got it right.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce your name? Norma Jean. Marilyn Monroe? No.
No.
Norma Jean.
When's it come out? Do you know?
It's going to be hitting festivals first. It doesn't say.
Oh, so it's a movie, not like a streaming thing.
Well, Netflix was going to pick it
up. Oh, Netflix. Awesome. Okay. I don't have to pay for it.
Well, for two decades, 41-year-old Andy Curry was hooked on the habit. He just couldn't kick. He was drinking Pepsis. Fully leaded, not the diet Pepsis, but the fully.
Wow, I've seen a picture of this guy. He does not look good.
What a rebel.
Well, of course he's not. Defying logic, Curry somehow managed to guzzle 30 cans of Pepsi every single day for 20 years. That's 219,000 cans of Pepsi. And he spent over $8,500 annually, unfazed by the cost. He kept doing it, but then he hit 266 pounds. And now he's at risk for being diabetic. I'm surprised he's not already diabetic.
At risk?
Right.
But it's in the rearview mirror.
But evidently he's turning to hypnotherapy to help him kick the Pepsi habit.
I do probably two or three diet sodas a day, and that's zero calories. If you do two or three regular sodas a day, that's 300 to 450 calories each and every day, 4,000 calories a week. Cut that by getting rid of the fully leaded sodas.
I'm black coffee, water, and tequila. That's pretty much the only three things I drink anymore.
I know. Oh, my God, look at this.
What?
Oh, Mary Jo Thompson of Kentucky. She put this on Facebook. She walked up to, come over here, Dwight, look at this picture. She walked up to her front door, just to put the keys in it.
Oh, I know what this is.
And open the door. And she got bit in the face by a rattler or whatever the hell that is.
Right next to her eyeball.
So she has this thing that says, God bless America, hanging on her door. And she, I guess, looked up, and this snake went, shack, and bit her on the eyeball.
Listen.
Oy.
These
Oy is right.
These liberal snakes have been anti-America for so many years. Now it's time to get rid of them.
Okay, it wasn't venomous, thank God.
Oh, it wasn't?
Yeah, because you bite them in the face, you're done. Right?
Yeah.
You
closer
look like
to the heart.
That kid from The Mask.
Yeah.
Especially if his fang gets into you, then you got to yank him off.
She says, I'm never. What?
If the fangs, like if a snake bites you and its fangs get caught, you got to yank it off. That's the best way to get
says,
it off.
She says, I'll never own another door hanger. She goes, I'm getting rid of that. It's like the snake was waiting for her.
Yes.
Well, it's like a big.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Oh.
Well, Daniel Bojangles.
Joe Jangles.
There we go. Joe Bojangles.
From now on, if we cannot pronounce someone's last name, it automatically defaults to Bojangles.
Yes.
So let's go to Australia where Daniel Bojangles has been busted into the Guinness Book of World Records for shattering the most push-ups in 1 hour.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So here's how he did it. He did 12 seconds on, 6 seconds off. So you go for 12 seconds, and then you rest for six.
Okay.
Okay?
How fast are we doing these?
He's probably do one a second.
Well, he's trying to do the most that he can in an hour. How many push-ups do you think the guy got in an hour?
Oh, I'm going to say, wow. Okay,
I mean,
6,000?
850.
850?
Yeah.
3,182. Oh. He got 3,182 push-ups in, shattering the record that was 3,054 push-ups.
I bet you it was the real push-ups too, where your chest hits the ground and you got to lock your elbows out.
Think how many Pepsis you could have drank in that time.
Okay. Does the Bojangles method work on a first name as well?
Yes.
Why not?
Okay. Because the previous record was 3,054 push-ups. And that was held by Bojangles Young.
Yeah, there you go.
In 2021.
It's interchangeable. Oh, wow. I think at some point we're just going to realize that Bojangles is all over the world.
Yes.
He and she are doing all kinds of stuff.
Push-ups down under.
In a way, aren't we all Bojangles?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Glad to have you back on this Taco Tuesday, the afternoon underdogs. Dave, Tony, Dwight, Sasquatch, and this morning, Tony happened to notice that our man, Nick Coffey, was back from his extended vacation, so he decided to journey into the red zone.
That's right. Back after 10 days off, the red zone has returned. We are fueled by Thornton's, and our man, Tony Vannetti, has joined us here in the red zone. Tony, yep. Have you ever taken 10 days away?
Yeah.
Because that's rare in radio, right?
Oh, it is. And look, I love my job. I'm not one of those things where like I got to go back to work. I'm sorry to people that are driving right now, going, I hate you for that. But that's the truth. I love my job. I love getting back.
Same here.
And getting back after it. Now I can't turn my brain off for 2 or 3 days. It takes me 2 or 3 days to turn social media off. Get my brain away from trying to be active for 24 hours a day. Because the thing about talk show hosts, everybody's like, oh, well, it's only 3 hours on the air. No, it's 24 hours. I got to keep up on everything and try to follow along. If something happens, I got to know.
Yeah. This was the most relaxing vacation I've ever had. We went to a place called Jekyll Island, Georgia that is, there's only like 500 people on the island at any given moment, maybe 600 during their peak season. So it's slow. It was good for the kids. We split up the drive. We stopped halfway there and stopped halfway on the way back to not do a 12-hour trip with two young kids. So
yeah, you're at that moment where we have to add in an extra hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We stopped in a place called Kennesaw, Georgia on the way home, which is right outside of Atlanta, and it was a really nice stopping point. And Atlanta traffic is...
You either stop before or after. I always try to get
after Georgia, for, you know, an hour maybe past Georgia or Atlanta.
I learned the hard way about what Atlanta traffic actually is, because I'd always heard it's one of the worst cities, but I'm like, never had a problem, no big deal. And then it was stop and go for about an hour.
What about that thing they built in the middle of the expressway for the halves?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The two-lane halves. Like, we're not the halves.
The speed pass.
The speed pass, yep. Where no one is on it.
My wife told me to go. Just go.
Just go. What are they going to do? Put you in jail.
Yeah, I didn't have the stones to do it, but I did think about it because traffic was terrible. So, again, nice to be reunited here with you, and I find out about not one but maybe two near-death experiences. You almost had your life ended on the expressway tunnels in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And You caught your house on fire last night, right?
No, I did not catch my house on fire.
Not your fault?
Look, okay, here is your – which one of you is the I smell something burning in the house?
My wife.
Okay. Is that everyone's wife?
Because I'm like the kid farted.
My wife
fine.
Has been doing it forever, since we were together. So last night, we do the showers. Everything's done for the day. The kids are all – well, they do their own thing, so we don't have to worry about them. So we're going to watch the finale of Peaky Blinders. We're on episode 6 of season 6. It's an hour and a half long when they're usually 45 minutes. So I'm like, this is it. Let's watch the final one. The lights were flicking all day long. And I thought, well, maybe it's just like substation is trying to keep up with the power demand. Eh, no. So then we get in there and she keeps jumping up and saying, why is the lights blinking? And then she starts doing the, I smell something burning.
And you're thinking the whole time she's just nonsense,
I'm
right?
doing a-hole dad. Get back in bed. Let's watch this. Nothing's burning. Nothing's burning. She was like, we have one of those units upstairs because we have an older house. So those older houses, you can't get the upstairs cold. So we got one of those. She says, it's coming from this. And I was like, well, unplug it. I'm like, let's finish watching this. So she's driving me crazy. So I get up to go and I walk past my window and there's a St. Matthew's fire truck in the front lawn.
You didn't even know they were there?
Nope. And my fence is on fire. And I was like, oh, there's St. Matthew's, fire in my thing. So I run down there. There's a junction electrical box, I guess, in my neighborhood, every three homes. So the electricity from the city, from LG&E, goes to my house and then splits off to my two neighbors. That box blew up.
Caught on fire.
And it's right over top of my white picket fence, which caught the white picket fence on fire. Okay. And it was crazy.
Did you lose power long term?
Oh, yeah. No. So these guys worked till about 11:30 or midnight and got it back on. And St. Matthew's fire was great. I got into a little tussle with the LG&E guy right when he got there. Then we made up. And then I found out I graduated from St. X. And I said, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So, but he
natural rivalry.
He ended up being a good guy. He didn't want to have to deal with me. And I was like, dude, you're going to deal with me because that's my house. And my house is on fire. So we got into a tussle. There was a lot of cuss words exchanged. Not that the fire had to, a little fire, or the St. Matthew's fire was like walking away from it. Okay. But we ended up, dealing with it.
So what happened to the fence? Like, do you,
oh, no.
Insurance?
So
like, how's that
St.
work?
St. Matthew's fire said, your fence is on fire. We have to cut it off in the two sections and take it off. And I was like, absolutely, take it off. I don't want to replace my whole fence. Let's replace just this section. So they cut it off. They pulled it off with crowbars, and they got every tool there is. So they pulled it off, and then there's just the post standing there, and it really kind of contained the fire to about a 6 or 7.
Are you going to replace it?
Yeah, I got it. Yes.
I mean, like, insurance going to cover that? Like, how
no.
do you?
No? No. That's the fun thing about homeownership that we all love, right? Your deductible's so high.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
our deductible's, seriously,
yeah,
I think
that
it's,
makes sense.
I think it's $2,500. So that I could go and get the two sections at Home Depot for
much
probably
80
bucks a piece,
yeah.
Nail it up myself, paint it, and
you're
good.
A handyman as it is, so
thank
it works
you.
Out perfect.
Thank you. So, no, I won't even be calling my insurance agent. The only thing that could help me is if LG&E goes, it's on us, we'll help you replace your fence, which I will make the call.
Just to see, right? No harm in that.
But it was amazing, dude, that they showed up at that time of night, 9 o'clock at night, and said, oh, no, we'll fix it right now.
Well, yeah.
I was kind of shocked.
You didn't even know they were there.
Listen, we have gotten so used to having crappy service everywhere we go and being disappointed. You're a father of two. When you have multiple kids, your life is a you're used.
Say it.
Back up. No.
Say it.
You're used to disappointment. You're used to stuff not going your way.
Yeah.
You just go, okay, it's not going to go away.
Prepare for the unexpected.
That's exactly right. Nothing's going your way. So when they were like, no, we're going to fix it tonight. I was like, really? I was like, awesome. So that was amazing. It was great. They were awesome.
Good to hear. All right, so let's back up 6 months. If I'd have told you following the Louisville football season where they finished six,
I know where you're going.
Six
no,
and seven.
No, no,
I mean,
no.
Number one running back no. in the country.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Have you seen the highlight video?
Oh, yeah. Did you see his stats?
It's sick. Someone posted a video when that team, all-star team in Texas, was in middle school and played potential Division I players. Did you see that?
No, I haven't.
And he's running all by these kids, and he's in middle school.
Check this out. In Texas, by the way, which last I checked is pretty rich with talent when it comes to high school football prospects.
Texas, Florida, and California.
In 13 games last year, he rushed for 2,989 yards, 46 touchdowns on 248 carries, 12.1 yards per carry, and an amazing 230 yards per game in Texas. Yeah. And he's decided to come to Louisville. I mean, are you someone that is worried that these guys won't necessarily end up here? Or because I don't have a problem with anybody celebrating this success. Scott Satterfield has given the fan base some juice and some buzz in regards to the future that I didn't think was possible. And again, it's the future. It's not this upcoming season. I still think he needs to have a good showing. But is he now in a spot that no matter what the season looks like in 2022, because I would have said 2 months ago, yeah, the recruiting is great. But if you are a failure and you go 4-8 or 5-7, we just can't do this again. But now I think no matter what the results are, it's going to be a tough decision because this is a once-in-a-lifetime type class. Top running back in the country, top five receiver in the country, and the number one dual-threat quarterback. Like this, and if these guys are – and the quarterback's already said, he's the ringleader, and he has said publicly, I'm all in on Louisville unless they change coaches. So Satterfield has put himself in a really good position to where, again, success is important in 2022 – but he's given himself breathing room that I didn't think was possible.
Yes, but anything can play out. I wish I was 25-year-old UofL fan, Tony, because I would just be, it would be euphoria today. Like, I would just have euphoria, and I would just watch the highlight videos over and over again and think about the possibility as the quarterback and the number 17 overall wide receiver, or no, number 17 overall, but the top wide receiver, right?
Yep.
Right? So I'm thinking, oh, my God, 25-year-old Tony would be consumed with it. As I, obviously, with even with what's happened with college football and basketball now, the landscape has changed. Years ago, I went from, great, until they lace them up and they run out on Cardinal Stadium, I'm not even, let's see what happens, okay, because there's too many things can happen. And now, especially with Satterfield on the edge of having a job or not, and a one-time transfer where they can just go, I'm out. So all of that, the odds of all of these guys getting on the field is... I'm doing, you know, what's the percentage?
Yeah, and I do think that's something you just mentioned that I've never really given much thought to. We had David Hale of ESPN on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about, do you think this is real, or do you think these guys end up visiting schools that are competing for the playoff this year, and they second guess it, and he, of course, said the obvious, which, you know, that's possible, anything can happen. But guys may not be as likely to flip knowing that they can get out for free. They can move on and not sit out. Like that makes it to where maybe they'll at least see it through, and then if they don't like it, they can go anywhere they want.
Well, the only X factor is the shoe companies paying for all this?
I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows how NIL works, but Adidas is...
That's what I think is a legitimate question.
Yeah, Adidas is clearly a factor here. So here's the connection.
Here's the deal. I would feel better if that's true.
Yeah, it is true.
If Adidas is paying for these kids to be at Louisville... I'm in.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it.
I don't care.
But it's a factor, and I'm sure they're above board. At least we hope so.
Which solidifies their position here more.
Yeah, they're invested in Louisville more than any other brand is invested in a school. And if they're helping bring talented football players here, then it's a great partnership, a great relationship. But Pierce Clarkson, the quarterback, his father is a former CFL quarterback. He's a quarterback guru, puts on clinics and camps, quarterback coach, and his camps are funded by Adidas.
Right.
So he has got the pipeline with Adidas, and it's like he is, again, I wish I knew the specifics, but it's like an underworld.
It's so funny because for the last 4 or 5 months, we've had one conversation, how Adidas, going with Adidas instead of Nike for the last 20 years has hurt Louisville recruiting beyond belief, and that Louisville missed out on so many players.
Missed out, and we got in trouble.
Got in trouble. You can't even imagine. So people in the know are like, dude, Adidas has killed you. So if you go, and this is the way sports is, this is why sports is crazy, and it's a drama, crazy-filled
existence is that you spend 4 months going, God, think if we had been in Nike school this entire time with Rick Pitino. Oh, my God, where would we be? Or in football, where would we be? And now, if it's Adidas that's flipping the script on everybody, because this basically is what they were planning on doing when we got in trouble. They were like, we're going to start paying players and get them to schools. Right? I mean, that's why we got in trouble.
And Nike's done it and just not been stupid about it. The Adidas guys got
oh, no, they were just
reckless.
Pros about it.
And they
yeah.
wanted to be public yes. about how they're big players in the hierarchy yes. of college basketball. They, yes. got stupid. So
right.
it would be great to
flipping
have
the script
flipping
like
the script
like that.
Yeah.
It's just so quickly going, we were vilifying them for the longest time, and now are they the reason we're going to score these players?
And we vilified them, but also we're like, damn, they're giving us a lot of money, more money than anybody.
Yes.
So it's like it's a tricky situation. But if you're getting the best of both worlds, the financial gain, and also they're helping you, it, as you said, could totally flip the script. So I've been critical of Scott Satterfield, I think, more than anything. I've been fair. The guy has a losing record in three seasons. He's coming off back-to-back losing seasons. Doesn't mean he should have been fired, but this is a really important year. And I think this could be a pretty good team that wins some games, but I underestimated the power of what building for the future can do for a fan base.
Well, look, as I just came back from Boston and I commented to my wife, I saw no college gear. Zero college gear. Maybe one hat in 4 days.
And it was probably Notre Dame or Boston University. Boston College has no juice
No,
up
it was
there.
A Roll Tide. Somebody walked by and went, Roll Tide. And I was like, what the hell? My point is, places like BC, Boston, all up north, they're not in. College towns like Louisville, this NIL could benefit because this is our pro sports. So we want people to start pulling these guys in. So will Louisville, the Louisvilles, the Oklahoma States of the world that have money to spend because they have backers to do that, start to do, oh, if there's no rules right now, let's go do it. And I'm all for it. I don't care. Let's go.
Yep, I'm with you. Tony, I'm glad your house didn't burn down.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.